Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. My, the presence of the Lord is just in this place, and I'm just honored just to be here tonight with these great men of God. And I tell it wherever I go, people always ask me, who's your favorite singer? And I have to let them know the truth. Pastor Marvin Winans is just the most awesome singer that I know. But what I appreciate about him, in fact, in sharing with these pastors tonight, not only are they great singers, but they're great preachers. And that's the blessing. When you can get into the Word of God and understand what He is saying now, and that's why tonight, so I shared this song, and it's really coming out in December, and I've shared with our second presiding bishop, Bishop Neil C. Ellis, in Mount Tabor in the Bahamas. And one of his people wrote this awesome song that I felt is so befitting here, because what people have to understand, and I speak to pastors now, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I don't want to be wrapped up in my title. I don't want to sit around while other people are being blessed and I miss it. So Lord, whatever you're doing, please don't do it without me. Lord, whatever you're doing.
Good evening to you all. May we all go in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come here on the Blog Talk tonight to share the Word of God, of commitment to the Lord. Everyone introduce themselves to who they are. And we're going to open what commitment unto the Lord. What is the commitment that you have unto the Lord? Are everyone walking towards the commitment that God asks us to walk towards? Are we leaning in the direction of good leadership as God asks us to do? So what is your commitment? What does commitment mean to you? You know, we need to sit back and answer that question. You have a loyal commitment. Just like you're loyal to your husband, you're loyal, you know, to your church congregation. Are you that loyal to God who gave you all? You know, over in Genesis, God was the creation. God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth for us, for His children. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over surface of the waters. If God can move water and He can move mountains, He was faithful enough to us to allow us to be able to say, my child, I give you my word, my sermons, as you preach them, as you teach them. But are we sincere, committed, or are we wrapped up so much in our titles of ourselves to where we're not even giving His word in the proper way? We can say what we want to say and retransfer His word in our own format, but we can't keep re-altering the Bible. Every Bible I done read so far, I done read five Bibles, all five Bibles, is written the same way. I thought maybe if I read four different Bibles that it'll say four different things. But for some reason, the Bible is saying it's all the same way. There's no Bible that's different. So if God wrote His plan out, we should have to follow his plan as he wrote the plan out. We can't, you know, add infrastructure and guide and say, well, you know, this is what we're going to do. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So if God gave light for man to see, and then God made evening and darkness, God created that. So if God created that, why we're not enjoying that and say, you know what, Lord, you gave it to us. Let us give back to you. Let us be committed unto you, Lord, for you can serve you and worship you as we're supposed to. You know, we have some preachers and some leaders. They worship in different ways. One worship, because you only worship in one God. It's only one God to worship. You can't worship. I just need somebody to make me understand how many gods is there that we worship. I'm hearing five different gods, and I know there only was one God. See, the height of God's love is passionate. You can't change how God loves, because God loved you unconditionally. But in order for you to give back and be committed unto the Lord, we have to learn how to trust the Lord's word. If you read his word, then you have to trust that that is what it is, that's how it's going to be, and that's what it is. You can't say I'm committed, and then when the storm comes, you know, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, I'm praying I need you. And then when you over the storm, you don't need God. It happened. Your light bill paid, your gas bill paid, your water paid. Nigga, you done bought a brand new car. You done got your taxes. And, nigga, my life is everything. But then as soon as that storm shift again, we go back to saying, oh, Lord, when we should praise Lord in the good, the bad, the sunshine, the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. We should always praise our God no matter what that we do. So learning to trust the Lord's word is very important, especially to our non-believers. I had a few people ask me, Bishop, well, if it was a God, this wouldn't happen in my life. Well, Bishop, if this was a God, then why my brother got killed? And and they go into a panic mode. And this is where I am trying to format a Saturday for our youth, because you can, you know, they non-believers. They don't believe in God. They always second God to say, well, what if this didn't happen? So, because it didn't happen, and it happened such a brutal way, then they say there's no God. God doesn't exist. Well, if there was a God, then how did my brother die? How did my brother get shot? But, you know, you cannot go on, well, if my brother got killed, there's no God. Then that's what our non-believers come in at. When our non-believers come in, that's what us leaders have to be in good leadership to say, and redirect them. Show them in the Bible what it says word for word. Teach them the proper way. If you notice, every time you turn on the television, we're killing each other every day. It is so sad, because it brings tears to my eyes that we have to kill each other for money, material things, clothes, and for the things that really doesn't make no sense. That hurts my heart. And I cry unto Lord, unto my Lord. I lean onto my Lord's understanding for what's going on in the world. And it hurts to see that our babies are killing each other over nothing. No one is thinking about the consequences that's happening or that's going to happen in the end. No one is really paying attention about, if I shoot you, I'm going to prison. But they started building all these prisons for our people. But ain't none of the leaders come together being leaders to teach them. But how can you say you God? How can you say, okay, I'm God's child. I'm God's chosen child to teach the word of God. If you're going to teach it, teach it. But see, you cannot teach it and then turn around and you don't support your foundation of youth and your family. Because everybody's family is broken. There's no perfect family. One thing you do know, you got to get your house in order before you can get somebody else's house in order. But there's no perfect family. All families are some form of fashion, somewhere broke to a degree. But at the end of the day, my people, that's what us leaders must come together and say, you know what, you're right. If it's not enough leaders, if it's not enough call, you know, it was a whole lot of us calling, but only a few was really chosen to be the servant of God. But you know, the understanding of what God is wanting us to do, how He wants us to do it, how He wants us to walk, how He wants us to talk, how He wants us to serve, means so much in the name of God, because no weapon against us shall prosper. In the name of God, you know, I read over in Proverbs instructions to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. You give instructions to God's children on a daily basis, they're going to get wiser and wiser in the word of God, of knowing what, when, where, and how to do things as God wants them to be done according to the Bible. Now, you leaders, I know some leaders is very advanced in the Bible. You can know the Bible. You can read scripture from scripture. You can read word from word. This wonderful to read. But are you reading and doing what? Are you doing what you're reading? That's the difference. Are you really doing what you're reading, or you just know scripture and verse, chapter and verse? Or are you following chapter and verse and giving it to His people in the sanctuaries? What kills me in the sanctuaries, in so many sanctuaries, you go to the church, you join the church, and then we say, oh sister, we're going to keep in contact with you. We don't hear from you. Then once you disappear and you be gone for a week or two, do you get a phone call? Do you get a phone call to say, sister, how you doing? How can we help you? Is it something you need? Some of the churches don't do that. I can count on my hand how many do. But this is what we need to do. When you see your sanctuary, when you get people that come to your altar and they join your church, if God led them to that front door, then you need to leave them to stay there. You need to reach out to them when they're not there. Evidently, if they don't show up, there's a problem. Are we going into the houses, talking to them, or seeing what the problem is, and seeing how we can help them, and seeing how we can redirect their situation to make it a little bit comfortable for them and a little bit more satisfying? Are we actually doing that? Well, okay, well, they gone. The next one will come. We can replace that. That's not how we should be looking at things. When we keep people come to these churches and they join your church, you need to be at the front door trying to figure out what's wrong, why they didn't come back, why they didn't show up, what is the problem. So we can come together as a congregation and we can support and we can help. It's building our children's ministry. It's going to be so much different and ran so much organized to where it's going to be unbelievable. When you Proverbs teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. Chapter 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. A lot of people fear God. A lot of people fear God because they don't know who God is. How can you serve a man you never seen before? A lot of people ask me that. You ain't never seen God. You don't even know if there's a God. You don't know. Guess what? I know for a fact there's a God. I trust in my God. God has spoken to me. God has shown me he is real. He has put it in my family's life. He's real. He's a loving God. He's an on-time God, so he don't come when you need him. He come when it's time for him to show up and show out. It's a difference in, oh, I need you now, Lord. My life will do. Oh, need God, Lord. I don't know what to do because I don't know how I'm going to get to work tomorrow, but, oh, Lord, I need you. But you didn't need him Friday when you got paid. You didn't need him then. You should need him all the time. Through the ups and the downs, the good and the bad, and the, every morning when you wake up, you should say, thank you, Lord. You woke up because of God. Just like the water and the earth that move, that water that's flowing, that water ain't flowing for nothing. The water is flowing because God allowed it to flow. So come up off these high horses and all these old, you know, these pedestals. You know, you put yourself on a pedestal that you are above. The only one that's above is God. You have to rise to get on his level. There's no man, no woman going to ever be on God's level because there's only one God. And you can take that to the bank and cash that in and tell me how much you get back from it. But at the end of the day, no. But we have to learn that we sit up here and what I do know we do, we forget where we come from when we get to a certain place. We forget what brought us to where we are now. There's a reason why where we are in leadership, in life, in growing, in business. There's a reason why. Our past brought us to where we are. So come on, people. Let's get right with God and stay committed. Those that's not committed, let's get committed. Life is too short not to lean on God for all your endurance. Or give it to God because, see, he can work it out. He can work it out where no man can fix it. But one thing about giving it to him, you have to give it to him and not give it and take it and give it and take it and give it and take it. Give it to him, pray about it, walk away, and watch him move. He moves unconditionally in the name of God. But God loves you, and so do I. And I just want to tell you guys, thank you so much. We are running out of time. God love you. I will see you guys Friday, which will be the 24th. In the name of God, Lord, thank you for bringing us together here tonight on the radio blog of Commitment Unto You, Lord. Lord, how much I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. In the name of God, hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, I love you, I love you. Lord, keep your hands moved on all my children, all 90 of my children. You keep them covered in the blood of Jesus. Keep them covered from the bottom of their head, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Lord. Lord, my family that's on the air tonight, you keep their family covered, and you keep them covered, Jesus. As we're standing together and humble ourselves unto you to be our master, God, to give it all to you, Lord. I'm here to say I love you, I love you, I love you. No weapon against my family should ever prosper. No weapon against you guys that's on a blog tonight. Family should prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen. It was nice hearing from you guys. See you Thursday. See you Friday at 10 o'clock. God bless you.